Welcome to the Home Project Podcast, where we talk about cultivating a thriving home and developing meaningful relationships. I'm Kelsey Harris, a therapist in training.
And I'm Alicia Anderson, an intentional homemaker, helping women feel confident and authentic home life.
This is where everyone has a seat at the table. Y'all, I have been on... Wait, now I have to make a thing of it. Mom says that every time we start this, I say y'all.
Y'all.
Which is really funny because if you know anything about me, the first 10 years of my life, I grew up in London. So I don't know how I've come to a point in my life where...
There's not much
my
Southern in you.
My default word is y'all. Like, I'm really not much of a Southern gal. But anyways, I do love living in the South.
Yes.
But my point is, I found a coffee table on Facebook Marketplace for $30.
Deal.
And it's like, what, 3 feet in diameter?
It's around, yeah. It's like,
wide?
Yeah.
Wide? Is that what you say? It's a circle. So
diameter.
Diameter.
Yeah.
Or circumference. And I have this vision for this coffee table. I don't know if you've seen, it's kind of like natural wood on top and then like dowels as legs. But everywhere you look to buy them, they're like $600. So I was like, well, I'm just going to keep my eye out and see what I can find. So this one was like painted white, but it had some chips in it. And she had said in the description, oh, like, I painted over this.
Yes.
Whatever. So I sent a picture to my mom and I was like, hey, do you think we could sand this? Like, is this the one? And she's like, we might as well try for $30. So picked it up. The bottom looked like real wood to me. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, we can totally sand this. And then
it felt like it was real wood too. It was very
heavy.
Yeah,
but then you guys were like, well, it might not be. But I was like, okay, let's just try. So we start sanding it and I got super excited because I thought we found real wood. And then I'm a newbie sander over here and I sanded a little too much in this one area.
Past the wood veneer.
Yeah. Turns out it's not real wood. However, what do you call it? The veneer? Is that what it is? The veneer top is very beautiful and a very beautiful design. So I think we made it work, barring that little section, but it's okay. And we're just going to...
It's a beauty mark.
It's a beauty mark. We've whitewashed it twice.
Yes.
And it's still a little too red toned. So... Our mission today, later today, hopefully, is to find something at Home Depot to lighten it up a little bit. And then the dowel legs will have to come in the next few weeks because I need to figure out the most cost-effective way to, like, I'm just going to cover up the legs that exist. So.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be so beautiful. And so keep your eye out because we'll do a transformation video on our Instagram.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be nice.
So, if you know anything about the Home Project, you know that our heart is for people to develop meaningful relationships and to cultivate a thriving home. One of the ways that we love to do this is developing these relationships around a table or in a home gathered together. And my mom, Alicia, is the queen. She is the hosting gathering queen. So today we thought it would be fun if I am more interviewing her and picking her brain on what goes through her head when she goes to host somebody, practical things, all that sorts of stuff.
Yes.
So, mother, when you think back to falling in love with hosting and deciding, like, this is one of the things that I am super passionate about, where does that come from?
Well, honestly, I think it came from growing up in a home where we always had people at our house. Like, that was a normal part of our week. On any given night, we never knew who would be stopping by or who my parents might invite over last minute. My parents really had an open door revolving, you know, open door for people to come. And even on holidays, because they were pastors, it was always like, well, who doesn't have a place to go? They are going to be invited to our house. So I cannot think of a holiday where we didn't have guests. And I think I didn't even realize how much it meant to me until I got married. And I went, my first Christmas with my in-laws was literally just the five of us. It was me and my husband, Jamie, and Aunt Anna. And then mom and dad. So I was like, I don't know. Like, it was very sad for me, even though it wasn't a sad holiday. I just didn't know what to do with it being just family.
Right.
And I realized, oh, I am so used to having additional people that we can build life with and connect. And so it just brought this awareness that that's actually a part of the core of who we are. And thankfully, Jamie, my husband, has always been gracious and kind, and he likes to invite people in too, but he's allowed me to thrive in that area of my heart and like to be able to welcome guests into our home. So from the very get-go of getting married, I think within weeks, we had started inviting friends for dinner. And I just found it also an outlet to let my creativity flow. So it was always about what can I make that's unique or what can we do? What kind of party, what kind of whatever can we have that feels different?
Yeah. I love that. How do you feel like this experience of you growing up in this type of home and then starting out, like you kind of already touched on the beginnings of it, but as you became a wife and like your own, a separate adult and then a mother, and even now an empty nester, how do you feel like this hosting experience and like passion has like shaped how you think about home and life?
Wow, that's a good question. I think it has shaped me to realize that a lot of the things that we do within the four walls of our home determine kind of the depth of friendships we have.
Mm.
So obviously we've grown up in the church, we've been on leadership in church, and you make friends on a Sunday, but really those only are at a certain level because you see people say in a service or in a small group or those kinds of things. But I think what happens is when you invite people into your home and you open up your hearts and your space, your kitchen, you have these conversations that are in a safer environment or in a different environment maybe. And the level of conversations, the hard talks, the funny talks, the memories we've made around the table have really shaped a lot of our friendships over the years. And to this day, some of those friends we are still very close to. So I think it really shapes your culture around you and what, you know,
totally,
the kind of friends you have.
Totally. I feel like it kind of parallels to our relationship with Jesus too. Mm-hmm. It's like if you only ever talk to him at church,
you're
not going to know him very well.
That's good.
And you're so right. Like, I'm thinking about the good friends I have, and sure, I might've met them at church or met them at school, but we're only friends because we took time outside of that environment, like in more stripped down atmospheres. Okay. So for someone that maybe doesn't host a whole lot, didn't grow up in a hosting home.
Yeah.
What does it mean to invite someone into your home? And I'm thinking, obviously there's the literal, you're inviting someone over, maybe for dinner, but like, what do you feel like that is doing emotionally or mentally? Like kind of, can you speak to that?
I think you can come from a lot of different angles with this. I think someone who hasn't done hosting, one, it takes courage to do that.
Yeah.
Because it is putting yourself out there. But I think also hosting can look a lot of different ways, which I know we're going to unpack today. So if you haven't hosted before and that feels something that's very daunting or feels very overwhelming, it's looking at it from a different angle, saying, what is the purpose of me hosting people? It's not just to invite people over and to have food and to like have a meal. The purpose is, say you invite a bunch of girlfriends. I want to connect with these girlfriends. And I want to get to know them on a deeper level. And I would even go as far as to write out the purpose for yourself, you know, to say, hey, in this gathering, I want to get to know, you know, I want to know your heart for maybe what's some dreams in your heart? What are some things that you're going for in life so that I can come alongside you as a friend? Because we can have friends, but not really know our friends or know maybe what is your greatest struggles. What are some things that you're struggling with in life that as a friend, I can come alongside you. So when we're intentional like that and we put purpose to the gatherings, we're going to get more meaning out of those gatherings rather than just saying, hey, I just want you to come over and we're going to just, you know, and I'm not saying that there can't be meaningful things coming out of those, but when we put intention to those, so it takes the pressure off of the gathering being the big thing. And it's more like the focus is about the heart connection.
Yeah.
So it can just be over a cup of coffee then and some store-bought cookies. Like, of course you can do other things and we'll talk about that, but it doesn't have to be.
So would you say that, like, are you saying when you're talking about intention and purpose, would you say to that person, hey, I would love to hear about your dreams so that I can come alongside you. Like, would you verbatim say that, or would that be more of a mindset that you're going in with?
I think it probably depends on the situation. If it was someone that I was meeting for maybe the first time, it feels maybe a little deep.
Tell me your dreams right now.
Yeah, like lay it all out for me. But I think I would say, hey, I'd love to get to know you better. I'd love to know what's your heart. You know, what are some dreams that are in your heart?
Yeah.
Just ask some questions that are not as basic as, you know, what's your job? What do you do for, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and those questions aren't bad, but they're very surface level. So I think, what are some questions you can ask that will take you a little bit deeper?
Yeah.
But also, you do have to kind of gauge where are you at in level of friendship with this person?
Yeah.
And what are they willing to open up to you? If you don't know them well, maybe don't go quite so deep yet. But also, you can kind of take a step further. Some people are willing to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might be refreshing in a culture of like very surfacey things. And I feel like making friends as an adult is very difficult.
Yeah.
And it might not be bad to be like, hey, we're going to cut all the small talk, and I just want to let you know I'm here to be with you. So, like, let's get to it.
I know you've hosted before, being married now, and like had an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
What would you say to that? Like, what kind of questions would you ask?
Oh, I think it depends. If we have married couples over, it's really fun to ask the like, okay, obviously the standard, what brought you together? But we also like to ask like, okay, what do you guys feel like you do really well in your marriage?
Yeah.
Or what do you see your lives looking like in the next 2 years as a married couple?
Yeah.
Or if it's individual people that come over, we try to just ask like, what's the Lord been teaching you recently?
Yeah, that's good.
Or I go straight into, what dreams do you have? What do you like? What are you passionate about? Yeah. What do you want to do with your life? What are you struggling with? What can we pray with you?
Yeah.
Or I go right in there, but people usually know that about me. And how have people responded to that? I think good, because they know I don't really play around from the start.
Yeah.
So when someone meets me, I'm A, very emotional and I can't help it. So I'm kind of just like, hey, yeah, sorry. Like,
yeah.
I try not to apologize anymore, but I'm like, yeah, I'm really emotional and I'm just about the heart and I don't really care to talk about the weather. Like, I let them know straight ahead. So I feel like if someone is coming over, they're usually aware of like, okay, Kelsey's probably going to ask me some heart questions, because I start off friendships that way.
But that's also, I think, a gift that you carry. You see people really well and are intentional with them. And so I think people, like you said, are hungry for that.
Yeah.
We're hungry for connection. That we were created for connection. So when we're not getting that in our lives, we desire that. You know what I mean?
Okay, so when you're inviting someone over, what are you hoping to discover about that person? And maybe we've kind of already touched on that. So maybe more, what do you want to make that person feel and experience when they come to your home?
I think for me, I want them to know that I see them. I want to be a good listener, and I haven't always been a good listener. Something I'm working on, bettering my skills. It can be easy at a conversation, if you're not careful, to dominate or to be the one talking about yourself more than asking the questions. And it's okay to share, but I think I want to walk away from the night going, I know more about them than I did before. Not like, oh, I feel like I just told my whole life story, but I don't know anything about them.
And they said three words.
Yeah. So that takes intention and that takes discipline to like also make sure that you're listening. But I really want them to walk away going, wow, I feel so valued, or I feel so seen tonight.
Yeah.
But that does take intention to do that.
I love that. What have you found? I know that you love to study the word. Yes. So what does the Bible say about gathering with others?
There are a lot of scriptures about gathering, but two that stick out to me is 1 Peter 4:8-9. It says in the NIV, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And so it's a commandment from the Lord that we are to love one another. And this is a way that we can show love
without grumbling.
Yes. And then Romans 12:13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So it really is something that the Lord says, I want you to welcome others into your home. Those in need, it could be those in need with need of friendship, need of, you know, companionship, or even of a meal. We've had people over who we know just don't have a lot of funds right now, and a meal is a blessing, you know, to them.
Well, I even think about like those verses. I love that it says outright, practice hospitality, offer hospitality. But also if we look at the life of Jesus and we're supposed to be like him, every important conversation that he had was always around a table that or around a meal. So I think we can also take from his example.
Yeah. And the word hospitality, I know, can be misinterpreted for something else, especially I think in today's culture of like the hospitality can be like the hotel world or the restaurant world, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being hospitable, meaning you're welcoming others in and showing love in your home. And that can look a variety of ways.
Yeah. Obviously, you are a woman of the Lord. You live your life trying to be like Jesus. So how do you feel like when you have this biblical perspective, how does that impact or affect the way that you live when it comes to gathering people or inviting people in?
I think I invite the Lord into the process. And again, this has been a journey of learning that. Sometimes it's like, well, who do we invite over? Like even just feeling a prompting. So the other day, my husband and I were at a coffee shop and we randomly ran into a couple that we know from church, but we don't know them. Like we know of them. And within a 15-minute window, like you could just feel there was this connection there. And I think because the Lord is a part of our daily lives, I could feel the Lord just saying, like, I want you to connect with them at a deeper level.
Yeah.
And we're not in the same walks of life in terms of like they have young kids. And I don't, that doesn't hinder me from inviting people. You know what I mean? Like sometimes people want to find like-minded and that is a good thing. But in this moment, I could feel the Lord saying, I want you to invite them over for dinner. So we reached out to them and we have scheduled something for dinner, like to meet with them. And I'm excited because I can tell there's something that the Lord wants to connect with us. So I think when the Lord is a part of the process, just really leaning in and listening when he says, I want you to invite that person to coffee, go for it, do it. Even if it doesn't make sense or you're like, well, I don't really know them. Well, okay.
Yeah.
It's a great chance to do that.
Yeah.
But also I think there's something that happens in our heart when we are generous with others. Mm. We're generous of our time. We're generous of our finances, our food, our space. Yeah. You know, we're giving. The Lord will bless us back as well. So there's this partnership that happens with the Lord in hosting. And it's not just about the meal. It's not just about the, you know, it's about the greater thing that God wants to do in us and through us.
So you're not just inviting people that you're already comfortable with. You're inviting anybody that the Lord speaks on.
Yeah. Well, and amazing. Here's the thing. Like, so when we moved from Florida to Tennessee 6 years ago, we knew one person. And so how do you make friends? You know, we would bump into these people at church. And I know that not everybody likes to host people and have people over, but I know that's a space we're comfortable in. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning days of being here, we were inviting people over 2 and 3 days a week to come over because how are we going to get to know people if we don't? And some of those dinners, none of them were bad, but some of them you go, these are great people, but they're not our people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a trial basis. I don't know how else to say that. Like we were looking for friendship.
Yeah.
We were looking for kindred spirits, people we could connect with. And we had lots of great meals. And some of them, it was like, you know what? These are, like I said, great people, but they're just not, they're, we don't have a lot that we connect on. So sometimes it's literally just opening your home to be looking for your tribe, you know, looking for those people that you're going to spend and do life with. And that's okay.
Putting your neck out there a little bit just to make friends.
And if you have them over once and that's it, no big deal. Like we had don't a lot of people. Yeah. And we still see those people and we're like, hey, like it's not that we don't, but we just haven't gone deeper in friendship.
Yeah. Okay. So moving a little more into practical tips, because you have so many of these that a lot of people don't get to hear a ton of these tips on the podcast side of things, but they're going to get to hear everything from you in the future. But for practical tips, how do you get past the, oh, yeah, let's schedule dinner. Oh, yeah, I'll text you. Oh, yeah. And then it never happens. Like, is there anything you do practically that's like, no, let's schedule right now or, you know?
So I think it's kind of situational. If it's someone that I'm like, oh, I really feel like the Lord's saying connect. Like, for example, this whole thing with this couple yesterday, I feel like I could feel the Lord saying, like, this one is important.
Urgent.
So I reached out to them right away and said, hey, I know we said we want to connect with you with dinner. Do you have days this week or next week that we can, you know? So I pursued them.
Right.
And they came back to me. Mm-hmm. Now, if I pursued them and they never came back, I would be like, well, I'll try one more time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because we joke, we're like, you've been Nashville or whatever. There's like a term because people say, oh, let's have lunch. And
that.
You know, they're never going to have lunch with you. And I don't like that. Like,
no, I hate that.
So if I say to someone, one, I don't say it unless I actually mean it. So if I don't plan on ever inviting you over, I don't want to say to you, hey, let's get together. We'd love to have you over. And I know full well I'm not going to follow through because to me that doesn't feel authentic. And I just don't want to do that to people.
Yeah.
So if I say, hey, we want to have you over, I would try to schedule right then and there if possible, or at least send a text shortly after and put the ball back in their court. Now, if you have reached out, I mean, this has happened probably more to Jamie than me. Like, you reach out and then the person just never comes back to you after several tries. You're kind of like, at this point, we're going to put that on pause and not keep pursuing it because clearly it's not a mutual feeling.
Come over. You must come over.
But also don't take it personally. Just like move on and go, you know what? There are other people out there to connect with. So I'm going to try putting myself out there again. To someone else.
That's so funny. Okay, let's say that you have someone coming over. What is it? April something. Or May when you're listening to this. I don't know. Say they're coming over in 3 weeks.
Yep.
When do you start thinking about that night? Do you think about it on the day of?
No.
When do your first thoughts start to form about this person's coming to my house? What, you know, plans?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing I do is probably a week before, depending on the circumstance or how busy life is, but usually about a week before, I reach out to the person and just confirm, like, hey, we're looking forward to you coming over for dinner next Wednesday. I wanted to ask if there are any allergies or any food preferences, any things that you just absolutely don't like. Because I have had people show up and say, oh, I'm a vegan and I've made a steak dinner. And then you just feel really awkward because you didn't know.
Well, here's the broccoli on the side.
Yeah, I know. Sorry that everything is laced in butter that, you know what I mean, is not vegan or whatever. So avoid those awkward things by just asking questions ahead of time.
Yep. So a week before is when when you're starting to think about
because most people, like, if they're going to back out, you know, they'll start to go, you know what, my schedule's getting busy next week. And, you know, whatever. So especially before you start buying things.
And then your first thoughts are, how can I make you feel? I mean, you're not saying this to them, but it's how can I make you feel comfortable when you come to my house for dinner? Speaking as a picky eater, I really appreciate that. And I've learned to do that with my friends too. I'm like, seriously, tell me if you don't like something, it's not a big deal.
Can I share a story about you when you were a child?
Sure. I don't know what it is, but sure.
Well, because you were a picky eater, that was a stressful, I'm not saying you were stressful, but like we would go to someone's house and we would have to say
to you.
You
were afraid I was going
to
start a riot?
No matter what they serve. Like, suck it up and eat it. But also, like, then if someone didn't ask, I'd be like, you know, they're for sure going to serve pasta or something that you didn't like. And I just don't want people to, like, I know how I felt as a mom. Like, I want you to feel comfortable. I want to be comfortable. Like, and it's not, I'm not trying to shame you.
I don't think you
anyway.
Are. No. I vividly remember choking down lots of spaghetti.
Yes, everyone liked to serve spaghetti bolognese.
It's fine, especially in England where everything is extra polite and just like...
So I think just from the onset, that sets a tone that I care enough about you to ask you, what are your, and I think obviously nowadays too, a lot of people have allergies.
There's so many.
So before you even start thinking about what to plan, because if you've planned something and then they're like, I don't eat gluten. And then you're like, well, shoot, everything I planned is gluten or, you know.
I'm going to make homemade burger buns.
Yeah. Whatever that looks like can give you a starting point to then start deciding what you want to serve.
That's amazing. Is there anything else that you think you are intentional about ahead of time?
Yeah. I like to, when I'm planning, I like to think of a few things. I like to think about, well, obviously, once I know what their allergies and food restrictions, like, say they don't like fish, which I don't like fish, so I appreciate that. I'm like, great, I'm not going to make fish. I try to let that person know. So maybe a couple days before, I say, hey, just wanted to let you know we're going to have chicken and mashed potatoes or something. Like, if whatever it is.
Yeah.
I was trying to think how I would word that to them. Just like to say, we're, or like, hey, we can't wait to see you. We're going to be having chicken and mashed potatoes, whatever. It doesn't have to be very just specific, to just to kind of let them know what they're coming to.
Yeah.
I think it's a kind gesture. It's not a necessary one, but it's nice when you go, you're like, oh, I wonder what we're having. I have no idea, you know, especially maybe someone who's more health conscious or, you know, trying to plan things or whatever.
Right. Then they know what they're getting. Yeah.
And you don't have to list every item you're serving. It's just kind of giving the main idea so they know what they're coming to.
Yeah.
Or also if you're having other guests, I think it's kind to let them know like, hey, just wanted to let you know we've invited a few friends along with, so they don't show up thinking it's a meal with just the two of you or whatever. And then it's like, oh, we didn't know there was going to be other people here.
Right.
It's for some people that they need that kind of like preface to know how to prepare themselves so that it's going to be a group of people versus a small intimate gathering.
At the very get-go.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh, I've never considered doing that. Or like, not I'm not knocking on you, but like that's interesting to tag other people along. Usually the people that I invite over that are in a group, they already like know each other.
Yes.
So it's like, hey, do you want to come over on this night? Like so-and-so, and they're also available.
Yeah.
And we'll do like a whole thing.
I think part of that comes from my own personality. I don't like to get caught off guard. And we've been invited somewhere where we thought it was just like us and them, and we get there and there's like 10 other people. And then I kind of go internally like panic vibes because I'm like, okay, I wasn't prepared for this.
Yeah,
because we've talked about this. I'm an ambivert or whatever. Like I do great in small settings, but you put me in a crowd of people, I'm like, I'm getting better at it. I'm working on it. Yeah, I think just letting people know, or I have done this. So we just had a family meal with your in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
And it was on a Sunday. And so I reached out to them and I said, hey, like, just wanted to let you know, we're going to be like in total chill vibes. Like, we're not, like, when we get home, we're changing out. So, like, I didn't want them to show up in their Easter dresses and, like, feel like they couldn't relax and be comfortable. And she just texted back and said, oh, I so appreciate you telling us that. Like, great. Then we can come comfortable as well.
Yeah.
So don't underestimate the power of just a few little details that you can communicate that can help set the expectation.
I love that. Okay. So when it comes to the space.
Yes.
What do you consider when you think about the table, like whatever you're going to put on the table, decor, lighting? Talk us through that.
I'm going to start with a wider view and come in on this one. I think there's a balance between making the house feel perfect and making it just feel clean and uncluttered versus just like lived in. I like the house to be picked up and not feel like they're walking into chaos everywhere. But I don't want it to feel like it's so polished and so perfect that they feel like they can't touch anything.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're in a season now where we don't have young kids at home, but we have had those seasons. So sometimes I purposefully left a pile of papers in the corner or left some toys out so that when they came in, like, it was not a mess.
It's not like, hi, we have it all together.
Yeah. Because I have experienced that, and I've had people comment like, oh, it feels like a museum in here. And I did not like that. I didn't want them to feel that. So I was like, ooh, I don't like that that's how you feel when you're here.
Yeah.
And reality is our house isn't clean all the time. Nobody's house is clean all the time if we were to, you know, peel back the layers. So I'm not trying to prove something to this person. So, or I will purposefully be like, you know what? Tonight we're using paper plates. Because that's what feels appropriate for this particular gathering. Now, don't get me wrong. I love a great tablescape, like an Easter meal or something.
Yeah.
I will pull out the china, the nice candles, all the things. But even that, it's like gauging at what level does this become a part of the night. And for years, I would have said that is the thing that makes people feel loved.
Mm.
And it is a part, but it is not the thing. I think more than a beautiful table setting and a beautiful meal is how they connect with you.
Yeah.
So my priorities have changed over the years as I've grown in my walk with the Lord and just my desire to connect with people. That's become more important than me being seen by what I do.
So it's definitely more of a case-by-case basis, you would say.
Yeah.
Because you're so right. Setting a big fancy table to a mom that has young kids is going to be stressful. But maybe to just a person who doesn't have kids or whatever, that might feel different.
But here's the bare basics for me. if I know someone's coming over, I always clean the toilets.
Yes.
And wipe the sink down because they're going to come into your bathroom. You don't want them to like see your disgusting toothpaste coming down the sink or whatever. So I always start with the bathroom. I always light candles because I want them to walk into this space and it smells nice. We have dogs and I don't like when our house smells like dogs. And that's a paranoia for me. I don't like. So I always light the candles. Also, it depends on the time of day. If you're trying to create a mood, like have lamps on so it feels warm and inviting. If it's in the day, like have your blinds open so you don't feel like you're walking into a dark cave. Or like at night, if someone's coming in at night, we're having a dinner and it's not like a candlelight vibe, I will make sure the lights are on throughout the house, like in the bathroom. So they're not like trying to figure out where things are at in the dark. So just some basic things like that. I prefer to have the table set ahead of time so that like it's easy and it's snow. But again, there have been other times where it's like, this is like family. So just come with us. And then we just throw the plates out. So it is very situational depending on what you're wanting to accomplish. Mm.
Tell us your top three tips when it comes to making a meal for others. Maybe someone who like barely, you know, can just pretty much have figured out how to cook for themselves or their family. And then the thought of cooking for other people is like, oh.
So the first one we've already talked about is just find out your guest allergies and food restrictions.
Yes.
The second thing I would say is plan something that is manageable. Mm-hmm. And by this, I mean, if you know that your work week is crazy busy, don't plan a bunch of stuff you have to bake from scratch or stay up till 2 in the morning because it no longer is fun to have people over. It becomes stressful. And I have done this and it's not fun for you or anyone else in your house because you just make it stressful. So you're like, okay, this week I have a little more time. I'm going to do a pasta dish that's simple, but I'm going to make a cake. Or this week it's just crazy, but I still want to have these people over, then I'm going to grab a pasta dish or I'm going to grill some chicken and I'm going to buy a store-bought dessert.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Those are not the things that define your gathering.
The world will not crumble.
Yeah. The third thing is, my mind just went blank on the third thing. Oh, I know. Don't try out a new dish on your guests.
Why ever not?
Also, I have learned this. And so actually, I'm going to tell a funny story. Okay. We had a friend over. Jamie invited one of his friends. I mean, he's friends of all of us, but it was one of really Jamie's pals. And we bought something from our neighbors called Beefalo. I don't know if you've ever. Do you remember this?
Wait, I do remember this.
So we.
Nasty.
We were told it's the healthiest meat there is. It's a mixture of buffalo and beef, I think.
Right?
Yeah, beefalo. And I thought, okay, well, sure, whatever. So we had these steaks. And so we're like, let's do steaks on the grill. I think we even asked Jordan to cook them. And Jordan is a master griller.
Yes.
And everything he makes is amazing. But he brings it in. And I learned two lessons this night. One, because it was Jamie's friend, I didn't have his contact details. And I don't think I had asked him if there were anything that he didn't like.
Oh.
Well, he didn't eat a lot of vegetables. He didn't like vegetables at all. And so I literally had served like asparagus, broccoli, and this beefalo.
Oh, gosh.
And I think a salad. Like, I had literally done all veg and just a meat. And like, we took our first bite and we're all looking at each other like, it was horrible. It tasted awful.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Pretty gross.
And poor Jordan, he was like thinking like, did I do something?
Stressed, yeah.
And finally, I think Jamie spoke up and was like, this stuff tastes terrible. And it was really embarrassing because here we gave him this meal that he didn't like any of it. And we still joke about it with him to this day. I don't even remember if I pulled something else out of the fridge or we just went straight to dessert.
I don't remember at all.
But we told him we would like to have a do-over. We just had to own it in that moment and be like, you know what? I'm so sorry. So
don't try new things.
Don't try new things because one, if you go to all this work and make a recipe and then you're like, it doesn't turn out, you feel bad. But then you put your guest in an awkward position as well. So don't do that. Or if you're going to make something new, maybe try it the week before.
Yes, give it a go on your own family.
See how that goes.
Okay, last practical question.
Yes.
Is there anything that you like to do that's considered extra or maybe like a signature? It's a Lish thing to always do this, other than, of course, making your own tortillas and mini paper plates. If you've listened to the Family Night episode, we had a good laugh about that.
Yeah.
So you can go back and listen.
Go back and listen to find out the story.
Cutting her own tortillas instead of buying corn and mini paper plates. So aside from that, is there anything that's signature Lish or just like an extra touch?
I don't know if I have a signature thing, but it kind of makes me want to have a signature thing.
I don't feel like you should.
I mean, I love to make a fun dessert. I'm known for my pavlova for sure.
Oh, that should be your thing.
But I also love like the caramel cream pots that I make. I would say I have signature desserts. Four or five are like kind of my thing.
But honestly, I feel like you could. No, maybe this is not right. You could make a hype around your pavlova. Because do you know what? I have a friend that has had it once and he has texted me and begged me the last several months, when is your mom making a pavlova? Like he wants it so bad.
So we need to just have them over.
You should just be like, yeah, everyone knows. Oh, you're going to Lish's house for dessert. You're getting pavlova.
It's like my thing.
Like that would be amazing.
Yeah. But I also get bored. I don't want to make the same thing every time. So that's why I end up sometimes making two desserts because I did that for Easter and there was five of us and we did not need two desserts. But we all ate the pavlova and then it was like, oh, there's this carrot cake to the side that's lacking luster.
But they were cute.
They were cute, but I could have just not done them.
That's funny. Okay.
I like to make people feel special. So when this is not necessarily hosting a dinner, but if I'm hosting a guest overnight, I like to do like a little welcome basket.
Oh, yeah.
That might have a drink and some snacks. If they're from out of town, like it's their first time to Nashville, I have to put like a postcard and just a few little Nashville thingies in there. But just like little things like that, that can make them feel seen or feel special.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. The last set of questions, I just have a few, are about overcoming barriers and obstacles and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So my first question I'm going to ask is, how do you keep hosting people when you're changing in life seasons? So if you're going through a big life change or, you know, you have a busy schedule, like have you always consistently hosted people or how's that looked changed?
That's a great question. I would say most seasons of life I have, but there have been a few where I have not, because I've learned to have grace for myself in those seasons. Mm. So one, it's asking yourself, what can I handle right now? If you have young kids, invite a mom over with kids and say, you know what, we're going to put out peanut butter jelly sandwiches or we're going to go to the park and have a picnic. Like, what can you handle?
Yeah.
So we're not saying host people no matter what.
You're not making homemade things.
Yeah. Or say you're have an intense work life and like the thought of hosting people just feels like too much.
Yeah.
Meet them in a coffee shop. You can host someone in a coffee shop. You're initiating the invite.
Ooh.
You're driving the conversation. Like you're coming with an intention. And I think sometimes we think, oh, hosting is only done in the home. But I think you can do it in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that's kind of putting yourself out there to invite them. So, or there have been seasons like when we launched college in that season at church and it was just crazy. I just didn't feel like I had the capacity to invite people over. So I think we even a couple times had students over and I was like, you know what, we're going to order pizza, which from my hospitality heart was like, this is like a tragedy.
And it was totally fine.
But it was totally fine. And it was all I could do. And I had to give myself grace in that season. Or like, if there are seasons where it's quieter and I want to invite people, I can say, hey, I'm going to host a special dinner. And I'm like, you can come relax, but I just want you to know, like, I'm going all out because I just want to, like, but I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. I want you to know it's because I just want to, like, for me, this is a creative outlet and I want you to be invited into that process.
I love that.
So that people don't come feeling like, oh, because here's the other thing. The more real and authentic you are when you invite others, the more opportunity you'll have for them to invite you back. We've had years of this where people would come over. I would put out this giant spread, which I love to do, and it was part of the DNA of who I am, but it made people intimidated to ever want to invite us back. So we would go through these seasons where, like, why won't anyone invite us for dinner? because they didn't feel like they could. And I'm like, that's because
Liz
horrible.
Has just laid out Downton Abbey yeah. level.
And for me, that was like, it wasn't stressful. It was fun. But I know not everybody feels that way. So that's why purposefully now someone comes over that I'm like, I want you to invite me over. I'm not going to start with that because I want you to get to know me. Like, I'm going to put out a rotisserie chicken and I'm going to put out a rotisserie chicken and a Caesar salad so you know that you can.
Okay, I'm sorry, but that is an amazing meal. A Caesar salad and a Publix rotisserie chicken is like my summer meal. Are you kidding me?
That was the go-to meal when
literally,
I didn't
sometimes
have time
when
cook.
We go to Jordan's mom's for lunch, she's like, what should we do? I'm like, let's get a rotisserie chicken and a Caesar salad from Publix. A,
you're
it's
welcome.
Easy. B, it's literally delicious. Some melon on the side. Oh.
Childhood memory right there.
Okay, let's say that someone is coming over. It's Wednesday today.
Yeah.
So next Friday.
Yeah.
Or no, Friday.
Friday. Okay.
2 days.
Yeah.
Pretend someone's coming over in 2 days. And your week has gotten a little crazy. You're a little tired. And you're thinking about that person coming over and you're like, ugh. You start grumbling. Just like the verse says not to. You want to grumble. You're like, why did I invite them over?
Yeah.
What the heck? This is going to be so much work. I'm so tired. How do you stay joyful and how do you get out of that?
Yeah.
I just want to cancel on them because I'm so tired.
So I take a minute to self-assess and say, what can I let go of that's causing me not to feel joyful about this? So maybe I had planned to make a homemade dessert. And the more I think about it, the more stressed I feel because I don't actually have the time to do that. And it means I'm now going to have to stay up late and do that. And that just, like, I don't want to do that. So I take that off the table. Or say they reached out and they said, can I bring something? And my heart wants to say, no, I'll do everything. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. Bring an appetizer. Like,
boom.
Take the big thing is taking the pressure off yourself. Or, hey, I was going to scrub all the floors and I was going to, like, dust everywhere. But I'm just not going to have time. So a quick vacuum is going to have to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, so.
It's like figuring out what is actually making
yes,
feel
what
the
actually
dread,
matters.
Because it's not really the people coming over. It's all the work, right?
And often when I feel that, it's often because there is maybe something there that the Lord wants me to do. And so it's sometimes there's a bit of resistance.
The enemy's like,
like, I'm just going to like stack your week. So I have to lean into the Lord in that moment, especially, and just say, okay.
Yep,
I want to partner with you. This comes back to partnering with the Lord. Like, what can I do to make this doable and not feel like it's more work than it's, you know, worth? So show a lot of grace to yourself.
Amen.
And to your family, because I know we have shared this before, but in those seasons where I had the perfectionism syndrome on myself and I had to like make everything perfect and do all the meals, my family paid for that, like in a not a nice way. I became not a nice mom and not a nice wife. And I would be like a tornado or a whirlwind of like cleaning and perfecting every area of the house, you know, even my bedrooms and places they didn't even go because I didn't want anyone to like see the real me. And like it became a thing where the kids dreaded when we were having people over because they were like, not again, because mom, the tornado mom's coming out.
Tornado mom. Have you seen the videos? They're like, people are making reels about this now where it's like, okay, it's a scenario. Someone knocks on your door and you're like, hi, how are you? And they immediately brush past you and they go and they put their eye level at the counter and they go, there's dust on this counter. And they like start analyzing your house as if like,
right.
Because the way that we clean right now when people come over is as if they're going to come around and look at the baseboards and go, oh, what dirty baseboards you have.
In reality is they mess up your house anyways, right? So you might as well clean after. We're like, we mix this up. We should be cleaning after they leave, not before.
So funny. Okay. Let's end with, what do you do when you have a difficult guest?
Well, this also would say show a lot of grace for yourself and for them. I'll share a situation, not mentioning names, of a difficult guest. And this was years ago. Someone came over and I was on a budget, so I didn't have a ton of money. And I had made chicken and I don't know what with it. But this person, I don't think they were intentionally trying to be rude, but they were like, well, do you happen to have anything else? I've had chicken the last two meals and I really don't know if I can eat chicken again.
No.
We're sitting down at the table. I have served the food. I was so flustered in the moment. I just was like, okay, what am I going to say or do? And so, I know. So I kind of was like, well, I have some leftover pasta in the fridge I can heat up for you.
Pasta or chicken?
And I don't honestly remember if they ate the pasta or they ate the chicken. I think they ended up just eating the chicken. But for a minute, it really like threw my game off. Yeah. And then I just thought, you know what? This isn't on me. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that they had had chicken, so I'm going to just give myself grace. When someone's difficult, like in conversation, or they're maybe unkind, we've experienced that as well. I think sometimes coming back with kindness can soften the blow or...
Yeah, disarm them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel protective when there's other guests and it maybe starts to get heated and like someone's kind of stirring the waters purposefully. Like they like to disagree with people. As the host, you can just be like, hey, like we want to honor everyone's opinion here, but maybe this isn't the best place to have this conversation. So just steering people away from the conflict or just finding a way to, it's, you don't want to necessarily like say, well, I disagree with you. I mean, you might want to, but finding a way to do it in a way that's kind and not unkind.
Like, you know what? We might disagree to disagree.
Yeah. Let's just move on to another subject.
Very cordially.
Yes.
Let's just go along.
So, and if people ask of things of you and you don't have it, or they say they ask for something you don't have, they're not trying to be difficult, but they are becoming difficult. Mm-hmm. Just be like, it's okay. Like, it's okay to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't have that.
Yeah.
And not worry about it. Just take that pressure off yourself.
Yeah.
So this isn't a full service restaurant. I've invited you for dinner. You know what I mean? You don't say that. Oh, but
I pray that no one has to have these types of people at their house.
Yeah.
Okay. To summarize, you've given us so many good nuggets. I want to go host people now with my new tips. First thing that comes to mind is seek the Lord about who you're inviting.
Yes.
And about what that person might need.
Yeah.
And give yourself grace. Don't be afraid to tailor it to that specific person, whether you're fancy or more stripped down.
Or your season of life.
And yeah, just be intentional, but keep it simple and don't make it stressful. So would you pray over the people that are going to be hosting people in the near future? Just that it would be, you'd give people ideas and that they would have smooth dinner parties, coffees.
Yeah. Father, I thank you for just the ability to connect with one another, our hearts to connect with people, Lord. And I just pray for that person who is longing to have deep friendships and deep connection, but has not known how. Father God, I thank you for courage to be able to reach out, to be able to open their space, their home, to invite to a coffee, whatever that looks like for them, God, that you would give them the courage to do that, Lord. And I just pray that you would bring friendship and connection to them. And Lord, I thank you for the gift of hospitality, that we can show others your love through opening our homes. We can welcome them with love, Father God. I thank you for creative meal ideas, for finances, for time to be able to do those things, to be able to reach out to those people who also are looking for friendship and need. And we just thank you that you connect us with one another, Lord, and that we have that bond of love that we can share between us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you have a listen and then you go and have a successful dinner party with what you've learned and you want to share it with us, or if you have a treacherous story to share from the past or anything that you think you just want us to hear, you can send us a message on our Instagram at thehomeproject.co. And you can also go to the website, which is thehomeproject.co, and you can join the community by plugging your email in there. Until then, we will see you next week.